Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio sitting in for John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Wednesday, May 10th, 2023. Six people were reportedly killed in a land dispute in Juba County on Tuesday.
They were attacked by members from the community, the youth. Some of them from Mundari and the others are from Baria. As a result of those crashes, six people lost their lives and one seriously injured.
And some political parties in South Sudan worry the Sudan conflict could affect implementation of South Sudan's 2018 peace agreement.
Charity starts from home, as we are focusing on the situation in Sudan. Also, we need to double up the same effort and to focus on how to resolve our problem.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan National Police Service says it arrested 53 suspects among armed youth who attacked security forces on Tuesday. A police spokesperson says at least six people were killed and one person was critically injured when armed civilians clashed with security forces over land in Juba County. Deng Gaideng has the details for VOA Fombor.
Major General Daniel Justin, the South Sudan National Police Service spokesperson, says armed civilians clashed with security forces over a disputed piece of land in Korijik, Boma. Justin says officials from Juba County went to Korijik to assess whether the land belonged to the government or the community when they were attacked.
So when they went there, while walking, they were attacked by members from the community, the youth. Some of them from Mundari and the others are from Baria. As a result of those clashes, six people lost their lives and one seriously injured. And then the situation was brought under control by our forces.
Justin says police arrested dozens of suspects and CAM has returned to the area.
So we got the report and then the authorities in Juba County went there to actually see the land. So before they reach where the place is, then the attack happens from the youth and from these two groups, and then resulted to the death of these people. And now we managed to arrest 53 suspects. We are now investigating them in Gudere police station.
Central Equatoria State Information Minister Andruga Mabe condemned the incident and urged residents of Juba County to remain calm and give authorities a chance to carry out their investigation.
We are now instructing our security organs there to maintain calm and to look for the perpetrator. This is always our demand. We would like to bring such kind of people who handle law into their hands and cause casualties and a lot of harm to the innocent civilians and above all to the government.
Mabe says every citizen has a right to own land, but they should follow the legal process for acquiring land. Juba County Commissioner Charles Joseph Wani also condemned the incident and urged state authorities to restore peace in the area.
We are saddened and deeply shocked on the brutal murder of innocent lives of unarmed civilians and injured many others in Korijik, Nuri on 9th May 2023 by heavily armed Mundari people in collaborations with some individual SSPDF with sophisticated weapons who happen to attack the government forces who are on the official mission in the Korijik, Nuri area. And they attack the innocent civilian while on the funeral raid place, killing several young men.
Wani says deadly attacks persist in Juba County due to the widespread presence of arms in the hands of civilians. is calling on national authorities to expedite its plan of disarming the civilian population across the country. Community leaders in Central Equatoria have on several occasions complained about land grabs and accused some members of the organized forces and some internally displaced persons in Jonglei State's Bor County of land grabbing. In the past, the community leaders wrote an open letter to Governor Emmanuel Adil and urged him to address the matter. Last month, the governor of Central Equatoria State, Emmanuel Adil, directed local chiefs and the commissioner of Juba County to register all land around Juba in order to put an end to land grabs. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
Some South Sudanese political parties say they are concerned about the impact of the Sudan conflict on implementing their country's peace agreement. They say Juba appears to be more focused on restoring peace in neighboring Sudan than implementing the 2018 revitalized peace agreement. Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
Soon after fighting broke out in neighboring Sudan, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, appointed President Salva Kiir to lead regional efforts to convince the two warring military factions to peacefully resolve their conflict. For the past few weeks, President Kiir and some of his top officials have been involved in trying to bring the warring parties to the negotiating table and silence the guns. Pokbot Balwang, the SPLM in opposition information director and acting spokesperson in the office of First Vice President Riek Machar, says while it is good that Kiir is helping to mediate in Sudan crisis, he should redouble efforts to implement South Sudan's peace deal.
Charity starts from home, as we are focusing on the situation in Sudan. Also, we need to double up the same effort and to focus on how to resolve our problem, because if we go to one of the genesis of the conflict in Sudan, some of them it's due to the security arrangement. So we should learn that lesson and also focus on our own issues and to implement our agreement.
In August 2022, South Sudan's parties to the 2018 peace deal signed a roadmap extending the transitional period by 2 years, saying the extended period will allow them to implement outstanding parts of the agreement. But Balwang asserts the roadmap is not being carried out as planned.
The process of implementation is very slow. There's a need for the parties to develop their efforts and also to the grantors to support the agreement and support the parties and also to supervise the implementation of the agreement so that the agreement is being implemented in letter and spirit.
Gabriel Changson Chang, senior leader of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, says stability in Sudan is intermingled with stability in South Sudan and is calling on the government to pursue peace in both countries.
What is also happening in Sudan is going to affect our oil industry head on. And if we cannot export our crude through Sudan because of that ongoing war, then South Sudan will be adversely affected.
Changson says the South Sudanese people will only rest assured when there is peace and stability in Sudan, which he believes will in turn maintain peace and stability in South Sudan. Sudan is one of the grantors to the South Sudan 2018 peace deal. With Sudan immersed in its own crisis, Abraham Aulich, a member of the People's Coalition for Civil Action, believes the conflict will likely derail South Sudan's agreement.
Already the parties have been unwilling to implement the peace agreement, and now that there is no one to police them, they will do as they wish. And especially the opposition parties have gotten really weak, and the recent agreement between the government and SOA to switch, give the governorship back to the SPLM is an indication of that.
Martin Elia Lomoro, South Sudan Cabinet Affairs Minister and Secretary General for the High-Level Standing Committee of the Peace Agreement, tells South Sudan in Focus that implementing his country's peace deal is not affected by President Kiir's role as mediator in Sudan. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayor in Juba.
The South Sudan government is giving the UN World Food Programme $15 million to feed and provide life-saving assistance to South Sudanese returnees and Sudanese refugees fleeing the fighting in Sudan. An agreement was signed today between the country's finance ministry and the WFP, as we hear from Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The South Sudan government says the $15 million contribution is to help the World Food Programme tackle widespread food insecurity in South Sudan and food price shocks caused by the conflict in the Sudan. South Sudan Finance Minister Dier Tong says his ministry secured the funding from the International Monetary Fund.
Out of $114 million that we received from the IMF under the food shop window facility, We allocated $15 million to World Food. What I wanted to underline, because, as I said, this event is timely, and the situation that is happening in the border cannot wait, we would immediately, after the signing of this agreement, we will immediately disperse that amount to World Food.
The IMF Food Shock Window is a new mechanism for low-condition loans to help vulnerable countries cope up with food shortages and rising costs through its rapid credit facility and rapid financing instrument programs. WFP Country Director for South Sudan, Mary Ellen, says the government's support has come at a critical time when the border is being overwhelmed by a large number of returnees and refugees fleeing the fighting in Sudan into a country that was already have difficulty feeding its people.
This contribution from the government of South Sudan through the WFP will help us to provide life-saving food assistance and nutrition assistance to over 265,000 people. We'll be able to do this by either giving food packages or to stimulate the local economy where markets are working to be able to give cash assistance. It will also give us a much-needed injection into our school meals program.
Ellen says the money will help WFP feed thousands of South Sudanese who were food insecure and allow the agency to respond to the needs of tens of thousands of refugees and returnees.
Over the past couple of weeks, we are dealing with the fallout from the crisis in Sudan. To date, over 45,000 people have crossed the border, into many of them South Sudanese returnees. WFP is up there with our fellow partners providing hot meals at least twice a day to people who are waiting in the transit centres for onward movement. We're providing a return package to those also going back to their communities.
In March, before the fighting broke out in Sudan, the WFP said it faced a funding gap of $466 million between April and September, as it considered reducing the number of people targeted for humanitarian assistance. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudan's government says it is working to implement an improved salary structure for civil servants. That story is coming up after this break.
On important questions. The question today:
how do you reward yourself?
I'll go and buy myself maybe a pair of shoes I always desire to get. I'll go and have a meal I always desire to get, or anything. Depends on what I've achieved.
By spoiling myself. I'm a girl. I go buy myself clothes, shoes, do my hair, my nails, basic things that will make me look good and happy at the end of the day.
I cook a good meal. I sit down with a chill drink.
My work involves very hard work, so I get very tired. So I reward myself once every month. I do that by swimming and relaxing at the beach with my family.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on plus one 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, plus one 202-630-8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. As a South Sudan ministry official is urging government employees to stay patient as the government works to implement the higher salary structure announced last year. The National Public Service Minister says his ministry is waiting for Parliament to pass legislation authorizing the new salary structure. Juliana Chiapai reports for VOA from Juba.
In his Independence Day anniversary speech in July 2021, President Salva Kiir Mayardit directed a 100% increase in all salary structures for civil servants and members of the country's organized forces to help government employees cope with increasing prices of commodities in the market. For over a year now, many civil servants, including the teachers, have been demanding to be paid according to a new salary structure based on President Kiir's directives. Public Service and Human Resources Development Minister Bengasi Joseph Bakosoro says that the government has yet to enact legislation to effect a new salary structure. Bakosoro says the government is aware of the suffering of the South Sudan people, including civil servants, and plan to increase their salaries, but urges for patience.
Yes, all of us are suffering. All of us need our salary to be increased. We have increased the salary of all the political staffs. We have raised the salary of all the civil servants. What remains is the implementation. Let us continue to be patient, especially when we are cornered. Around us all are problems affecting our neighbors.
Bakosoro says the salary increment will cover all government workers, including politicians and civil servants, adding that the salary structure is not based on a percentage but on a will to address the suffering of the people.
We are waiting for the Minister of Finance to table it to the parliament. If the parliament pass it, then it becomes a law and we can now use it. But for now, the document is still in the Ministry of Finance, waiting its presentation to the parliament. That will take some time, maybe a week or a month from today.
2 weeks ago, lecturers in South Sudan public universities threatened to lay down their tools unless the government pays their salaries and salary arrears based on a new salary structure. But Minister Bakosoro urges the university lecturers and all public institutions to abstain from demonstration as it only leads to more suffering for the people of South Sudan.
The university is threatening to go on a demonstration or to stop teaching. Every citizen in the country is also suffering. Let us bear the burden as South Sudanese people, and we continue pushing slowly. Things will get better in the future.
The minister explained that while the South Sudan government is trying to address the current economic crisis, the world is also facing other challenges, hence the South Sudan people should be patient. He adds that South Sudan at this point is a consuming economy, which makes it difficult to support itself as the country does not export goods from which it will earn revenues. For VOA News, I am Juliana Chiapai in Juba.
With no sign of progress at peace talks between Sudan's warring parties, analysts warn the conflict in Sudan could have grave consequences for the country's neighbors, as well as for hopes that Sudan can one day have a government led by civilians instead of the military. VOA's Africa correspondent Mariama Diallo has this report from Nairobi.
25 days since the war in Sudan broke out, there are no indications the warring factions have any intentions of negotiating an end as fighting rages on. Ravina Shamdasani, spokesperson for the UN Human Rights Office, told VOA during a recent visit to Nairobi that the situation is troubling.
Yes, there are ceasefires. Yes, that has led to some reprieve, some calm where people are able to actually leave their homes and try to flee. But airstrikes are continuing. The takeover of residential buildings for military purposes by the RSF is continuing. And even people who are trying to flee, on the way, they're facing not only security risks, but extortion. There is acute shortages of medicines, of food, of fuel. The situation is really rising to the level of a full-blown conflict.
The conflict has the potential to affect the whole region and beyond. Kweku Nwama, professor of international politics at American University in Washington, tells VOA.
Sudan has seven neighbors, all of whom have some degree of, chronic instability. And so this conflict can go regional in a minute. And it can even spill over across the Red Sea into, the Saudi Arabia, Yemen. So there's a whole bunch of things that can go wrong in the region.
Representatives from the Sudanese army and the rapid support forces have been meeting in the Saudi city of Jeddah. While the immediate need is to try to broker a truce and lay the groundwork for broader discussions, Susan Stigant, Africa director for the U.S. Institute of Peace, says there are concerns about Sudan getting back to a civilian-led government.
I think many people have expressed questions and concerns about the role of civilians and citizens and political leaders who will absolutely need to be at the center of discussions about any political future, and who are those who are really on the front lines right now responding to the humanitarian crisis inside of Sudan.
The head of the Rapid Support Forces, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, also known as Hemeti, said in a recent tweet post that he and the RSF are committed to democracy and the transition to a civilian-led government. The Gallo's counterpart in the army, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, had made no such pledge, though it's worth noting that the Gallo and Burhan cooperated to overthrow Sudan's joint civilian-military government in October 2021. The ongoing conflict has created an exodus to many neighboring countries, including South Sudan, where many left a few years ago when that country also experienced a civil war. Now some have been forced to come back, says Charlotte Hallquist, spokesperson for the UN Refugee Agency in South Sudan.
We have recorded almost 45,000 individuals that have crossed, but the numbers are likely much higher than that. So it's this ultimate tragedy of a second displacement. So they fled their country during the civil war. They sought safety in Sudan and are now fleeing back to South Sudan.
She said many have spent long days on the road, walking, taking the bus, or using donkey carts to cross the border into Upper Nile State in South Sudan. They are arriving exhausted and hungry, says Hallquist. The refugee agency is providing emergency relief at the border and transporting people to the town of Rank. But Rank has limited resources, she says, and the agency is encouraging people to move on from there. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
A jury in New York City has found former U.S. President Donald Trump liable for batter and defamation. The case was brought by E. Jean Carroll in November last year, alleging that Trump defamed her in his Truth Social post by calling her allegations a hoax and a lie. Carroll had alleged that Trump sexually assaulted her years back. The former president has denied the allegations. ABC News reports that the jury awarded Carroll a total of $5 million. Kweku Nwama, a professor in the School of International Service at American University here in Washington, D.C., tells VOA's James Batty that the verdict is a tiny drop in the bucket for justice because it is just the beginning of accountability for former President Trump.
Given all the cases that has been alleged, all the issues that are pending, my initial reaction is that this is a tiny drop in the bucket of justice. but it's the right kind of drop.
What do you mean it's the right kind of drop?
It's the right kind of drop because it is the beginning of accountability. It's the first time that he's been held accountable for many of these things, many of these allegations, and he simply brushes it aside. He doesn't even bother to explain. He simply says, it's not true, you know, I didn't do it, and his supporters believe him. And all these women that are accusing him have been called liars. So this is the first time that he's been held accountable. And as I said, it's a tiny drop in the bucket of justice, but it's the right kind of drop.
Of course, just to put it right, the former president denied the allegations by Ms. Carroll.
Yes, and a jury of his peers disagreed with him. And they ruled that even though they don't have evidence to prove that he raped her, there's sufficient evidence to support a verdict of sexual battery and a defamation claim.
Can we put this in the context of, say, political leaders in Africa? What do you think this means?
Well, political leaders in Africa are not held responsible for all kinds of things that they do. They abuse people, they abuse their rights of their citizens, they violate all kinds of laws, and there's no accountability. So Donald Trump pretty much has been operating in a kind of a consequence-free environment that our leaders have. But this verdict is going to hurt him in some important ways, particularly in the general election. And I hope that Africans are paying attention to what's happening here, and we learn from this kind of experience. This is not a political vendetta. It's not Joe Biden that's going after his predecessor, as we often see in Africa. This is the legal system operating the way it's supposed to operate. There is no interference of any sort. And if Africans allow our legal systems to work without political interference, we can get a verdict such as this.
That's Kweku Nuama, professor in the School of International Service at American University here in Washington, D.C. He was speaking with VOA's James Batty. And that's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Zaman Kuru Juja by Emmanuel Kembe. Zaman Kuru Juja. Listening to Emmanuel Kembe and the song Zaman Takuruju Ja. I am your host, Nabil Biagio, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Kayla Williams, we thank you for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.